I just want to bring a short overview and a revision of everything that we've done. We've covered eight fruit of the Spirit, and I want to go back. I don't want us to lose track of where we are or where we're going in this. Very easy. We cover a lot of ground, and you know, we're just keep on going. I want us to stop for a moment tonight and just review where we have been and what we have dealt with in Galatians as far as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We're dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. We've dealt with eight. We will deal with the ninth next Wednesday night, temperance being a fruit of the Spirit. But I do want us to go back, and just for a short time, I will encourage you, challenge you, exhort you, and review this. And then I want us just to open up for a time. If you have questions, that's fine. If you want to testify, that's fine. If there's something God has dealt with you, and I'd just love us for a time just to open up and share concerning these things. But saints, always look, we're not looking to learn more. We are looking to become something. And where mere teaching becomes knowledge, or something that we don't even remember or think about, it has been lost. All of it is in vain. All of the preaching, teaching is to make us into something. And when we come to preaching and teaching with faith in our heart, something happens in our heart. What does it say in Hebrews? It says the word of God had no effect in them. It accomplished nothing within them. Why? Because of their unbelief. Whether you come to the word of God and go through your own life with the word of God, and faith or unbelief makes all the difference. You will be two utterly different things. If you'd come to the word of God with faith, not with self-effort, not with determination, but with faith. What is faith? A confidence in God, a trust in God. And when you come to him through the word of God with an absolute trust in him, your life is deeply impacted. Israel perished 40 years in the wilderness through unbelief. They heard the word preached. They heard it preached every week. They knew all the stuff, and it had no effect in their life. I do not want us to be like that. And you know what? It's not through self-effort that we are going to do something. It is simply by my trust is in you, Lord. I can't do this, but my faith is absolutely in you. You said you'd do it in me. I do want that. You said that you'll work this in me, and haven't begun a good work, you'll finish it. I do believe that. My faith is actually in God, that I'm not going to go to the left. I'm not going to go to the right. I'm not going to fall away. I'm not going to lose along the way. I'm not going to become a Lot or a carnal or a Judas or anything else. I actually trust, not that I can do it, and I have no confidence in the flesh, but I actually have a trust that the Spirit of God and Christ in me will do this. I don't have any confidence in myself. Amen. And sometimes we can get our wires crossed. What happens when you change the plug? I know none of us men would do it, but maybe one or two of the ladies, you get your wires crossed. Okay, now I'm more likely to get wires crossed in the plug than Candace is, okay? So don't stone me. But you know what? When you cross wire a plug, what happens? You've got the right socket, the fuse is there, you've got two wires, or three wires, is it? You've got it all, you've got everything there. You've literally got it all there, no different than a functioning plug. But when you get cross-wired, what happens? You just apply the wrong, the wrong end of that. You've got... Yeah, whatever. you are worse than me, so I don't feel as bad. But when you're putting the lead onto that plug socket, if you put it in the wrong place, it doesn't work. And you know what? With these things, if you think that it's a trust in you being able to do this, you've got your wires crossed. It will not work. You've got all the same applications. You've got all the right bits. And you plug it in there. The power is flowing. And it doesn't work. Why isn't the kettle boiling? Why isn't it working? Because you've got your wires crossed. You've got everything. But you've misapplied it. And many Christians do that with the Word of God. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And just for a short time, I want to deal with this because I want us to be so conscious Now it is a work of the Spirit. We are dealing with 9 fruit that are impossible for you to accomplish in the flesh. You cannot do it, saints. And if you begin to think, oh, these are easy, these are normal, these are things I function, I'm quite a nice guy, and I do function this, you are cross-wired. Because along the way, you're going to find you don't have the power. You don't even have the desire. You don't have the ability. And you're going to find yourself in a great crisis of conscience. But when you realize that it's an issue of God is going to do this, this is a work of the Spirit that I cannot do, that isn't natural to me, but that it's all in Him. It's an altogether different thing. Galatians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, or freedom. Only use not this liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, and notice what the command is here, because this one I really want us to think about and focus on for these moments. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Father, just help us in these moments. We love you. We desire you, Lord God. We want an experience in our own lives and in this church of Christ dwelling in us. By faith, Lord God, we want to know, we want to enjoy, we want to experience what it means for Christ to live His life in us. By faith, not by our own efforts, not by our works of righteousness, but Lord God, by faith in what you have said in your word, that Christ is literally going to live in us and through us, and that a life is going to be lived through these clay vessels that isn't of us, isn't of our own will or determination, but it's a work of grace. Lord God, we're asking that you'd work effectually in us, because we want the fruit of the Spirit to bear forth fruit even within us. Lord God, we have no confidence in the flesh. We've got no confidence in our own efforts. We've got no confidence in our own will, our own thinking, our own intellect, or even our own understanding. All of our confidence and all of our trust, Lord God, we're leaning heavily on the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Lord God, we're leaning heavily on faith in Jesus Christ, that He that began a good work within us shall complete it. And Lord God, that we're going to stand on that day like Abraham and Sarah and all the saints of the ages, standing perfect in your very presence. We love you. We desire you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've said several times already, what we've been dealing with on the Sundays, a walk of faith, is just the same literally as a walk in the Spirit that we read of in the book of Galatians. You cannot separate faith from a walk in the Spirit. It all joins together in the person of Christ. To be in Christ is to walk in the Spirit and to walk by faith. It's impossible to walk by the Spirit, or walk in the Spirit, or to walk in step with the Spirit. Because remember, that's how we define a walk in the Spirit. What is a walk in the Spirit? Now we know that the 9 fruit lay out what that really is, but what is it? It's a walk in step with Him. To be out of the step, To be out of step with the Spirit is you're doing things differently than He'd want you to do. You're actually walking to a different step. And you know, much that we read about religion and legalism and of man's religion in this book, now it could look very legalistic like a Catholic, but it also, like many charismatics of our day, well, I'm under grace, I'm free to live my own life, there's nothing expected of me. I've been forgiven, I'm justified, all my sins are forgiven, and I can just live like a stinking so-and-so. I can live like Lot because grace has done it all. I'm in God, He doesn't expect it. That's as bad as a Catholic. It's a different extreme, but it's still a walk in the flesh. A walk that says, I'm not under any obligation. Well, you're walking according to the flesh. But also as the man who is strongly trying to earn his salvation or be good enough for God, or to live the life that God wants by His flesh. I want to tell you something, the flesh is rejected. But many Christians get themselves in a quandary or a confusion because they're trying to live the Christian life by the flesh. You can't live the Christian life by the flesh. It is an utter impossibility. We're told in Galatians 5:25, like we read there, if we live in the Spirit, what is it to be alive in the Spirit, or to live in the Spirit? It's to be born again. When you're born again, you're made alive. The Holy Spirit comes to live in you. Now you're living in the Holy Spirit. But what does that mean? Is that all there is to it? I'm alive. I've had an experience. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. To walk in step with the Spirit. So we see that these nine fruit are a walk in the Spirit. You're going to have to learn to walk with Him. That doesn't happen in one day. That doesn't even happen in one year. I wish you could tell you it happens after 35 years. But I can't. It's a progress of learning that everything is in the Spirit of God. And that you will not love somebody unless the Spirit of God is allowed to function in you as He desires. It says again, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we say we're born again, let's walk the walk. Let's live this life. The nine fruit of the Spirit, let's live like this. Saints, let's not excuse it. Let's not deny it. Let's not hinder it. But if we say we're born again, let's live the life. Let's have this love in us. Let's have this joy in us. Let's have this peace in us. And don't you excuse why it's not in you, or why it comes and goes, or you're on a high one day and you wonder where it is the next day. Do not excuse it. Because as soon as you go back to the flesh, trying to create this within you, with all of your effort and power, you end up in frustration. And you'll end up back at a point where God is trying to say, come back into step with me. It says in verse 16, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is the great enemy of this walk of the Spirit? It's the flesh. The flesh is your greatest enemy. But notice in the book of Galatians, for all throughout this book, we see that the problem is in the flesh. It's not a demon. It's not even the devil himself. The prime problem of a genuine believer is in the flesh. What is the flesh? It's that old Adamic nature that you still have as a believer. You're born again, but the flesh is still there. It was there before your salvation experience. It's there after your salvation experience. Before, that is what you were. Now, it is what you're against as a believer. Oh yes, it appears. The same thoughts can come. The same feelings come. Even the same desires can come. But now you're a radically different person. And now that flesh is an enemy. And what he says here is walk in the Spirit. Learn to walk in step with the Holy Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And he goes on to say, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now what does someone under the law try to do? They're trying to be approved unto God. If I do all the right things, then I'm going to accomplish something and God is going to accept me. Then I'll have peace. Then I'll have joy. Then I'll have righteousness. Then the nine fruit will grow in me. Then I can enjoy my Christian life. But what he's saying here, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under that legal system. You're not trying to be better. You're simply trusting the Spirit of God to work something within you. You're standing by faith. And saints, if you're not careful, you'll have all the bits on the table and you're going to wire that plug wrong. You're going to stick that red lead into where it's meant to be a negative instead of a positive. You'll cross your wires. And here you are with the confidence in your flesh saying, but my flesh wants to be good. My flesh wants to keep the law. My flesh wants to do its best. My flesh wants to be accepted by God. It sounds so similar, yet it's radically different. One has a confidence in the flesh and his power, his ability, looking to himself. But the other is looking to God alone, saying, only Christ can live this life in me. Only the Spirit of God can do this. And it's a heart attitude of utter, absolute dependence on him and an utter rejection of the flesh. I've got no confidence in the flesh. I've got no confidence that I have the ability to make the right decisions. I don't, saints, but I can assure you the next crossroads to come, I will make the right decision. Now, how do I know that? How can a man who says he has no confidence that he's got the power, the ability, the strength, the knowledge to make the right decision, how can he say that when I come to a crossroads, I will make the right decision? You know why? It is a life of utter reliance on him. I'm not looking at myself or I'll falter. I'm not looking at my own ability. I'm going, you have the wisdom. You have the knowledge. I'm simply being led. I'm not calling the shots, saints. I'm not saying which direction to go. All I'm doing is being led by the Spirit of God. I'm not under laws and regulations trying to accomplish something. I am literally being led by a person. A person is living in me. I am living in a person. I want that person to become absolutely my life, where it's no longer me that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And in the book of Galatians, Paul gives two great truths concerning a victorious life. And the first one is justification by faith. He deals with that thoroughly in chapter 3. He says, we are children of Abraham. We have believed and we become heirs just like Abraham. It wasn't Abraham's good works. It wasn't all his efforts. It wasn't his righteousness. By faith he was made perfectly, absolutely and completely righteous before God. It was the gift of God to him. But the second great truth is the indwelling of the Spirit. Are Christ dwelling in the heart by faith? Now look at this in chapter 2 and verse 20. This is the outstanding scripture of the whole book of Galatians. Chapter 2 verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Notice here. I am crucified with Christ. My old life, my flesh. And he's speaking about the flesh. Was Paul a rank sinner? Was he an alcoholic? Was he a fornicator? Was he an adulterer? Was he a stealer? Was he a criminal? Is that Paul's old life? It wasn't. Do you know Paul, the old Paul in the flesh? He said, I keep all the commandments outwardly. I'm blameless outwardly as far as the law. I'm zealous for the laws. I'm zealous for God. And that was Paul, yet he was living in the flesh. Now I'm giving you a warning here. The flesh is very, very subtle. The flesh is religious. The flesh actually wants to accomplish what the Bible says only the Spirit can accomplish. But here is Paul. He's saying, now since being born again or justified, I am crucified with Christ. That old life has been crucified. I've got no confidence in the flesh. The flesh will not make me more like Jesus. Self-effort or choices or my will not do it. What does he say? Nevertheless, I live. I'm not a stoic. I'm not a hermit in a cave. I don't have to hide away from the world in order not to be tempted, which is what the old hermits used to do. They thought, we are surrounded by a world, so I'll go and live in a cave and I'll be a saint. I'll be a very spiritual man. And if I don't see a female in 50 years, then I won't be tempted to lust. What a holy man. Just remove every woman from your view. But if you read the writings of those old Catholic hermits, They still had the same problems in a cave alone when no women were around. They had all the same things. Suddenly in the middle of the night they get angry with someone that done them wrong 20 years ago. And yet they haven't seen the person for 20 long years. What are they dealing with? The flesh. The flesh is the problem. The flesh is still with them. The flesh is in the cave. The flesh isn't outside the cave. It's very much real. But notice Paul says here, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So notice that the Christian life is Christ living in you. It's not you living this life. It's not you trying to do better. It's not you trying to obey the commands. It's literally Christ living in you. He wants to live his life actually in you and through you. And the life which I now live, now how are we going to do this? How do you make Christ live his life in you? How do you get Christ actually living in you? Would you want Christ to live in your home? Do you want Jesus Christ to live in this church? Do you want Jesus Christ to walk with you? Do you want Jesus Christ in the fellowship, the worship, every aspect? Do you want him on that high street when you go evangelizing? Do you literally want Christ there with you? How are we going to do this? How do we bring Christ to this church? How do we take him that street? Now notice Paul gives the answer here. And the life which I now live in my born again state, I now live in the flesh. So I'm in my physical body. I've got feelings. I've got sight. I'm living a normal life in the world. But I'm certainly not of it. He says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice it's Christ's faith. It's not our faith. It's not a faith we're working up. It's a faith of the Son of God. He actually gives us faith. It's a work of the Holy Spirit that we go, I have a faith in you. I've got a confidence and a trust in you. And he now says, this life of Christ living his life through you, it's by faith. You will not do it any other way. If you look to self-effort, or I'm going to try better this week. I know what your week is going to be like. But saints, I want to tell you, it's the faith of God that birthed you, that you are born again by, that you now live this life by. You don't earn it, you can't accomplish it. It's not self-effort, it's not your righteousness, it's not your strength, it's not your knowledge. It is an absolute faith that he said he is going to live his life in me. It's a walk in the Spirit. If I can just get into that atmosphere of the Spirit, I am going to walk the way he walks. It's not me trying to do this. It's simply walking in tandem with him. You know, you ever been with someone? They're going somewhere. You don't know how to get there. You've never been there. You don't know what the sights look like. And they don't explain to you. Nothing worse. The brother on Sunday, you know, Pat turned to him. He says, how do I get back there? You know, Pat turns to him. And Pat's given all the right instructions. He knows all the place. Pat's got all the information. And you've just given it to this poor man. And he's going, hasn't been here a year, week and a half, I think. And here he is. Let's send him out the door and see if he'll get there. Have any of you received instructions from someone who knew the way and yet you got lost? Have any of you? I certainly have. And more than once, more than five times, I can assure you, they had all the knowledge. They had no doubt, no confusion. They had walked that path many times. But to give it to me, I cannot handle that. Do you know what? The greatest thing is say, come, I won't even bother explaining. I'll take you there. I'm going there. You just walk with me and I'll take you there. We're talking about something real. God doesn't just give you all the information, say, try to get there. Do you know what he says? He says, you stick close to me. You walk with me. You listen to me. You become sensitive to my nudgings. And this is where you're going to end up. You're going to end up in Christ-like maturity. I tell you, the fruit of the Spirit will operate and function within your life. You know, it's a very interesting thing that in chapter 4 of Galatians, we begin to read. Let's just turn there for a second. Galatians chapter 4, we begin to read about Ishmael and Isaac. And do you remember what Isaac represents? or sorry, what Ishmael first represents. What does he represent? The flesh. And the product of the law. Is the law wrong? No. God intervened on behalf of Hagar. He preserved her life. He saved her. He sent her back to Sarah's tent. So we see that the law is good, but it'll never save you. It will not accomplish what faith is going to accomplish. Yet, didn't Abraham try to do that? And all he got was the flesh. The flesh was the end sum total of it. And in this chapter 4, do you know what Paul's laying out? This walk in the believer's life between flesh and the spirit. There's a contest here. And in chapter 4, 22, it says, but he who was born of the bondwoman, that is Hagar, was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants. Then down to verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he was born after the flesh. Sorry, let me say that again. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Now what's Paul saying here? What we've dealt with of Ishmael and Isaac, they're in that tent. Ishmael was there 13 years. Abraham's confidence was in Ishmael. 13 years. He thought, this is it. This is the answer. And yet it was born out of a legalism. It was born of Hagar. And here he is. That child's rough. You'll never tame him. 13 years. He gets a 13 years old. He's almost pulled his hair out. He said, I can't tame this child. I've tried everything. I've given him the best tutors. I'm there telling him every day. Can you imagine that? Young Ishmael's grown up. He goes, he's a handful now. He's bigger than he's ever been, but he's no more tamed. He doesn't have any more love in him. There's no more meekness in him. There's no more of the aspects of fruit of the Spirit. 13 years trying to deal with him. I've fed him. I've looked after him. I've spoken to him. No different. But then Isaac is born, that which is spiritual. This is a spiritual walk. And you know what? There's then a conflict, a war in that tent between the flesh and the spirit, between Ishmael and Isaac. There is an almighty war in that tent, and there is in every Christian's life. And don't you think that you're out of the picture because there's a battle. And don't you just give into the flesh saying, this is the Christian life. It's not. There is a warfare. And either Isaac's going to be predominant or Ishmael's going to be predominant. And what does God eventually say? You remember Sarah, who represents grace? She comes and says, here, get him out of here. Throw Hagar out. And you know what the Lord says? Cast him out. We're not commanded to cast demons out of Christians. We are commanded to cast the law out and the flesh out of the life. Cast that Ishmael out of your life. Get rid of it. Saints, we are seeing here this battle between flesh and spirit. Ishmael will never bring forth the fruit of the spirit, these nine fruit. Never, ever. Isaac will. How was Isaac born? By faith. Under grace, through grace. Here he is, a child of the covenant. It's not self-effort. We're not told he was a rough kid. I tell you, Isaac from the beginning is marked by Christ's likeness and death to self. He was crucified with Christ. He was laid on that altar. Doesn't it say that in Galatians chapter 5? That we are crucified with Jesus Christ. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now why? Because they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. It's the mark of the real believer. It's a mark of faith and of a real work of the Holy Spirit. When we lay everything down on that altar, it is real. It says in verse 17 that the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. There's a war that goes on in a believer's life. What is the flesh? It was born of Hagar, of the law. What is the law? Do this and live. Keep the law. Don't lie. Don't commit adultery. Live righteously. Love God. And if you try to live the Christian life by that, by your flesh, you'll end up in utter failure. But if you learn that it's an absolute confidence, I cannot, saints, you cannot live this life. You cannot do this. You're going to have to crucify that flesh and by faith say, I want you to live your life in me. I've got no confidence. I cannot do this. I am absolutely convinced already in my Christian life, I can do nothing, but you can do everything in me. If I look at myself, I'll despair and I'll be filled with unbelief. But if I look to the Holy Spirit, I've got great faith.
Amen.
Why was he given? To lead you into all truth. To lead you into conformity to Christ. Now let me close here. You know, that's the shortest message you've ever heard me ever preach. He hasn't heard me preach a shorter message in 5 years. But you know what my blasts are like as well. But let us briefly just take a review of these fruit of the Spirit. We dealt with 8, we will deal with the 9th. The first one, love. Do you remember that when we dealt with that love, we seen it's something more than we think it is. We naturally think that love is affection. Well, I have an affection for him. Let him wrong you then, and we'll see what sort of love you have. How great is your love? Is it Calvary love? Is it the love that took Jesus Christ to the cross to die for his enemies? Is it the love that prayed on the cross, Lord, forgive them for they know not what to do? Is it that Calvary love that was manifest in the person of Christ while you were yet in your sins, while you were yet enemies? He loved you. This is love. Not that you loved him, but that he loved you. You weren't lovable. There's nothing lovely about you. And as we dealt with love, we seen it wasn't a natural love. And you know, when we looked at it on that first night, we seen, you will not do this. And sometimes we forget that we think, we do love people. I want to tell you, if you think in your flesh you love people naturally, then it's not a real love. There is a love that comes from Christ. There is a love that's shed abroad in the hearts that's of the Holy Spirit. It's not of man. It's a real love. And if you try to love people in the flesh, you'll end up frustrated. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to work this love, you come to end of yourself. Don't fear. When you find yourself lacking the love of Christ, do not despond. That's the very time you stand by faith and say, sure, how can I do this anyway? God never said this is in me to do, or that I'm to look for the resource in myself and who Keith is. I'm not to do that. I actually look for the Spirit of God to bring a love that's supernatural, that's not of this world, that doesn't come from humanity, but it comes out of divinity. There is, and I'm telling you, saints, it's by grace that this operates. It's by faith, and that's why I don't get frustrated. I'll get frustrated if I'm trying to make Ishmael, love people. Ishmael, will you love them? He cannot, it's not his nature. But don't despond in that. You're going to be looking for Isaac to live like this. Secondly, we looked at joy. What was joy? It was gladness, cheerfulness, or calm delight. All through the Bible, it's marked, its brothers are singing in music. Do you remember when we dealt with that joy, that night, here in this very kitchen, dealing with the joy of the Spirit, and we said it's not circumstantial joy. Do you know what happens? We have problems, and the joy goes out the feet. Do you know what sort of joy that is? That's a joy of the flesh. Things are going well, I'm happy. Things go bad, I'm down in the dumps, I want to give up. That is not the joy of the Spirit. That is an Ishmael joy. Ishmael, be happy. Ishmael can't be happy. Ishmael isn't going to walk around with a smile on his face. Ishmael doesn't want to clap his hands or sing or dance. Maybe there's a wee bit of Ishmael left in me because I haven't got my dancing shoes on. But Ishmael's going to have to go.
Amen.
We're talking about a real joy. But saints, the joy of the Spirit isn't being happy because things are going well. That isn't. That can be a very fleshly joy centered in yourself or your good circumstances. But remember, we dealt with there's a joy that's there when everything goes bad. There's a joy that's of the Holy Spirit by faith. Do you know all of these things operate by faith? Thirdly, we dealt with peace. And we saw that in the Old Testament it was the word shalom. Well done, everyone. And the word shalom, it actually means safety, wholeness, soundness, completeness, or fulfillment. This was all wrapped up in shalom. Remember how we said they'd come in the house? Shalom to this home. Let the peace of God, let the safety of God, the wholeness, the soundness. You know, this is what the meditators, the Hindu, the Buddhist, the Hare Krishna, they're all searching for, is the peace. And we have it in Christ, amen. Not in your flesh. Amen. Because natural circumstances come and we go, what am I going to do? We wring our hands. But there is a peace that passes natural understanding. It's not natural things. And you know how it operates? By faith. Not by you trying to work up peace. I'm in a crisis. I'm going to be at peace. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fear. Okay, let's try this again. Let's set myself. Where's that scripture? Where's the promise book? Okay, I'm meant to be something. Do you know what we're meant to do? I'm in a crisis here. I should be tormented. I should be broken. I should be in bits worrying. But you know what? I'm going to stand by faith. I'm not going to try by the flesh to work up some sort of contentment and be accepted here now. This is what a Christian is meant to be. That is not it, saints. We can be real. Christians are the most real people in the face of. I'm in a crisis. Now I need that peace. Lord, I stand by faith. You said you'd give me a peace that passes my natural understanding. What is that peace? It is to be at ease. It's a calmness. It's a quietness. It's freedom from strife. Strife all around you, but it's not in you. Fourthly, long-suffering. We said that was a Christ-like response. And it's got everything to do with people. It's not circumstances. Long-suffering doesn't deal with circumstances. It's dealing with people. Do you know, we can often deal with circumstances brilliantly. It comes to people, now we have a problem. That's when you need long-suffering. You need peace for the problems out there. You need long-suffering when it involves people. Long-suffering is a Christ-like response, not an attitude. It's not the proactive thing. It's a response to things that are done wrong to you. This is long-suffering. You don't have it in your flesh. You don't have it in the old Paul or the old Sophie. It wasn't there, long-suffering. Might have been many things that imitated it, but it wasn't there. Long-suffering is a Christ-like response when people do you wrong. It is a passive response, though it may be active when somebody does you wrong. It's no retaliation. It's long patience. It's forbearance. It's to be long-tempered or to have a long fuse. Fifthly, gentleness. We said this is where we get the word gentleman from. You know what a gentleman is? Not every man is a gentleman. Not every man who's quiet or timid is a gentleman. When we talk about gentleman, it is a way of acting. It's an inward character. It is a character of a man. It's a Christ-like attitude. And we define gentleness with this, if you remember, sweetness of spirit. It's an inward attitude that pervades you. There's a sweetness. Now, we may not always be sweet, but when Ishmael rears his ugly head, we are not sweet. Do you know what? In us, that's why Paul says, in me, that is in my flesh, is no good thing. I can't find these things in my flesh. So when something else rises up in me, I go, that's the flesh. It's not sweet. That's how I identify it. That's how I know what to shoot. That's how I know what to nail to the cross. I don't nail sweetness to the cross. But anything that contradicts that sweetness, I nail to the cross. It is strength under control. We said about the elephant painting the picture. All that strength, and yet it's painting a picture with its trunk. And my brother Ethel bought the picture. They say about buying the t-shirt, I was there, I bought the t-shirt. He bought the picture that the elephant painted. It was strength under control. This is gentleness. This is the gentleness of a Christian. You know what? It's not in your flesh. Sixthly, goodness. It is proactive benevolence. It's well-doing. It's doing good. And we define it as open-handedness, our quickness to be generous in action. And generous doesn't only mean money, it means everything. It's to have a large heart or a generous heart, or a heart to serve or a bountiful heart. It's literally the picture of it as a heart overflowing. That's what goodness is. Who can I do good to? We're not always like that, are we? A walk in the flesh, when we walk in the flesh, if we walk in the flesh, we cannot do what is right. We will not do what is right. We don't have the power. We don't have the ability. But if we come over into a walk in the Spirit, suddenly it operates. There isn't goodness in the flesh. There's only goodness in the Spirit. Seventhly, faith. Or as we said, really it's faithfulness. It's the fruit of faithfulness. Not an act of faith, but a lifestyle of faithfulness. And really that's defined with trustworthiness, loyalty, reliability, or dependability. This is someone who's always there, day in, day out. You can depend on them. There's a loyalty there. You can lean on them. There's a trustworthiness. These are those you can lean on and trust. Eighth, what we dealt with a week ago, was meekness. And we said it was to be pliant, or to melt into flow like liquid. In other words, we adjust to situations. We're not awkward. Do you know what an awkward person is? Everything has to adjust to them. They're at the center. They come in, and everything has to accommodate them. That's an awkward person. Yeah. Well, they don't like the chair. And we understand, we have people who will come in from the outside. They might have a sore back. We'll make sure they have a cushion. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about someone who always demands that they be accommodated. But meekness is the actual opposite. I can just adjust to my situation. And remember we said the actual Latin word was to be tamed. That's what it means. It means by the master's hand to literally be tamed. You're someone who, like Moses, has been tamed. You're teachable. You're humble. You've been mastered by God. That's meekness. The flesh isn't like that. Abraham done everything to train Ishmael, and after 13 years it was another failure. He was against everybody, everybody was against him. Here comes somebody else, another servant into the tent. Abraham, I have a problem. Oh no, here we go again. I tell you, that's Ishmael. 13 years he could not be trained. But saints, we're not living by the law. We're not living by the flesh. We're not trying to accomplish this. We want to stand at a place where we're living by faith. We're walking by faith in the Spirit. And you can only walk in the Spirit by faith. You know, when you're operating in the flesh and you go, what's all of this? I'm walking in the flesh. Why? Because it's my self-effort. I need to be living by faith. Let's take a step over here. All this is by faith, through grace, not of yourselves. That isn't only salvation, this is the Christian life. And you go, I'm going to walk by faith. Do you realize by standing by faith, you'll accomplish more than all of your efforts in the flesh, even religious flesh? And lastly, what we'll deal with next week is temperance, or self-control. We're talking about a walk in the Spirit. It says in chapter 6, 8, sow to the flesh. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap the flesh. You put all your effort into the flesh, that's what you're going to get back. But it says if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to get back from the Spirit. What are you going to emphasize in your Christian life? And I say Christian life, don't think this is out, the flesh is out there and the Spirit's in here. We're talking about a battle. Who are you going to live your Christian life by? How are you going to go through your Christian journey until your last breath? By faith or by the flesh? It is a walk in the Spirit. Father, just help us. We don't want to lose these messages over these weeks, Lord God. We just look, my God, to stand by faith through your wonderful grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord God, that it's not a burden to walk with you. My God, you brought us into a wonderful salvation. You've forgiven our sins. You washed us. You made us clean. You made us accepted. All of this by grace through faith. We believe what you said. And oh God, it becomes a living reality. My God, teach us to walk by faith, not by our own strivings, not by our own efforts, not not by anything of ourselves. We want to be free to walk with you in the name of Jesus. We want to learn of the Holy Spirit of God, how to walk by faith in step with Him. We know it's by faith that we learn to walk with Him, to walk in step with Him. And Lord God, by this means that Christ will live His life through us, even these nine aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Help us tonight. Oh God, raise up a spirit of faith in our midst. Where we fail, let us stand again by faith. Our flesh cannot accomplish these things, but we believe by faith this love is going to flow, that this peace is going to guard our mind, that this joy is going to well up in our hearts. My God, we want this fruit to manifest, not by our efforts, but by an act of faith, by a literal faith and confidence in you. We have no confidence in the flesh. We've got no confidence that we can accomplish this. We've got no confidence that the old nature can do anything good. But our trust is absolutely in you. Lord God, you said it and you shall do it. You said, having begun a good work, you will finish it. You said you're the author and the finisher of our faith. And we do believe it in the name of Jesus. Oh, how moved.